Good morning. Appreciate Dave leading us and you participating this morning. What a joy to do that. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. As you turn, I will continue the plugs going on for Mountaintop and encourage you to make sure you pick up a brochure here. Some of you are still camp age now that we've got this new week going. I've been privileged to be asked to direct that week, and we're looking forward to that and what God is going to do, and would really encourage you to consider it. There's a website, Excel, E-X-C-E-L, Excelweek, dot what? You remember, Kim? Org, or I think it's org or com. Try them both. You'll get to it, so you try something there. So anyway, I want to encourage you to be praying for that week and encouraging young people. I think it's going to be a very special week, a new venture for Mountaintop, but I think it's going to really be something that God's going to use in the lives of young adults and in the lives of local churches, including this one. And that's, of course, our hope. Last Sunday morning, if you were here, you were able to participate in some way, by watching, or a few of you by being up here in our baptism. You know, and I wonder as I think back about last Sunday morning and what transpired. Stan has already alluded to it in his remarks, but I wonder about the different responses from the folks that were here. And I know there probably were a number of different responses to that. And we could categorize those in a general way or bring them down more specifically. But when it's presented what the Lord Jesus has done in a life, when that is presented in a testimony, as these three that were baptized last Sunday morning shared with us, and then the actual baptism itself, when that is done, there's a presentation of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in an individual life. And when that happens, there is always a response, whether it's purposeful or thought out or not. There is a response from everyone who hears and views what happened. In fact, every time the Lord Jesus in any way is presented to an individual, there is a response. That response varies so much across the world and across even this county and city, and even in this room this morning. And we've been going through the book of Luke, and we have mentioned numerous times that Luke, led by the Holy Spirit in presenting the Lord Jesus, does so with a particular emphasis on Him as the perfect human being. We've noted that each of the gospel writers, Matthew presenting Him as king, Mark presenting Him as the servant, and John presenting Him as the Son of God. But Luke, the gospel that we're going through, really presents Him in a unique way as the perfect human being. And we see Him in much of the emotion of humanity. We see His interaction with those of every strata of society socially. We see Him interacting more with females than we do in the other gospel accounts. Very interesting, some of the things that are brought out. Luke, being the author, humanly speaking, we see a lot of interesting medical things that are mentioned as Luke goes through this gospel in presenting the Lord Jesus. But as he presents Him, we find not only in our own responses, but we find in the responses of the people who were alive at that time, because oftentimes Luke records for us something about the people who were there when the Lord Jesus said something or did something. And that's what we're looking at right now in this particular section of Luke chapter 11. We began at verse 14 last Sunday morning. We're working our way down through verse 36, and we're looking at what we're calling perfect responses. Again, the responses of the people are not perfect. In fact, we're going to see that all three groups that we're looking at, the responses are imperfect. They're not perfect because the people are not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But the perfect responses are those of the Lord Jesus, because He is perfect. Notice again, we're going to get our context here in verse 14, speaking of the Lord Jesus, and he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke. So here's our context. We're not going to go back through it in detail, but we have a person possessed by an evil spirit, and that evil spirit has bound the ability to communicate verbally in this individual. And the Lord Jesus, with power over Satan and over his forces, cast that demon out of this individual, and that man who was formerly not able to talk now is able to talk. That's pretty impressive. And the people who were there watching, they responded. And we see three responses. And again, we note them here in verses 14 and 15. Notice the first response, and the multitudes marveled. They marveled. They couldn't figure it out. They were amazed. And that's one group. Here's the second group. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And then the third group we find in verse 16, others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. So there are three groups. We've looked at the first group. We're going to work down through the responses of the Lord Jesus. But one thing I want you to notice before we move on is the beginning again of verse 17. But he, knowing their thoughts. He, knowing their thoughts. How would you feel this morning if you knew or even wondered if I knew your thoughts? What if you were listening to me, and as you sat there, you knew that whatever was going through your mind, I knew what it was. Now, a lot of these people that day probably did not realize, and by their responses, imperfect responses, it's very clear they didn't know that, but that was the reality. And whether you know it or not, the Lord Jesus knows your thoughts this morning. So we're going to consider these imperfect responses, these imperfect conclusions, and then we're going to see how the Lord Jesus corrected them, and then we're going to draw some applications. Again, very quickly, a little review. The first imperfect conclusion in verses 17 to 26, those who admitted the power but attributed it to the wrong source. And we looked very quickly at some of the ways that the Lord Jesus described their conclusions. And we made an application to the world religions and cults today. Anything apart from biblical Christianity, we can find that their conclusions, particularly about the Lord Jesus himself, can be described in these ways. We won't go back through them, but here was our principle: to fail to recognize the Lord Jesus as God is to fail to truly recognize him as from God. Many religions claim to believe that the Lord Jesus is from God, but they don't believe he is God. Well, they're not accurately concluding in their understanding. So we looked at that last week. You can go to the website and check that out if you'd like to hear that. But we're going to move on this morning, and we're going to pick up in verse 27, and we're going to look at the second response. Now, this is the second response in the order that the Lord Jesus addressed the response. Back in our opening verses, this is actually the first response that Luke records, where it says that the multitudes marveled. Okay, the multitudes marveled. The second one he mentions is the Lord Jesus, people concluding that he cast out demons by the prince of demons. We've already looked at his response to that. He addressed that first. Here's the second one. Let's read it together, verse 27. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So here's the way that we're going to present this imperfect conclusion this morning. It was people that responded to the Lord Jesus casting out the demon by admiring the power, but missing the greater blessing. admiring the power, but missing the greater blessing. Now, this one might surprise us a little bit at first reading that the Lord Jesus decided to correct this response. But here you have the Lord Jesus. He has just spoken to these who are claiming that he was doing what he was doing supernaturally by the supernatural power of the devil rather than the supernatural power of God. And I don't know if he just paused or if he concluded his thoughts, but at some point, a woman calls out from the crowd. You know, I wonder if she had been thinking, maybe for some time, about what she had heard of the Lord Jesus or seen him do, and maybe these thoughts had been on her mind, and she was looking for an opportunity to speak out in a very complimentary way of him. Or possibly it was that she was at the moment seeing what he did, hearing his response, that she was overcome with admiration. And in the marvel of the moment, and called this out to him. She used a blessing to express her admiration for the demon-casting power of the Lord Jesus. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. This woman looks back, whether she knew who Mary was or not, I don't know. Whether she had seen Jesus before or not, I don't know. But she was overcome with what he had done, and so the way that she seeks to compliment him and express her admiration is to speak a word of blessing. You know, I will say thank you to all the moms out here. Thank you to my mom and to my wife who is a mother, and all of you who have borne children. Wow. You know, many of you know, our daughter-in-law just bore our second grandchild to us last week, just a little over a week ago, out in Memphis, Tennessee. Little Verity Catherine. You know, and I'm so thankful for the blessing of the womb of our daughter-in-law. Now, what a blessing. And what a blessing for every woman who has gone through the pains of labor and brought a child into this world. But this woman, calling out of the crowd, she particularly wants to exalt the mother of this one who is showing his power over demons. You know, Elizabeth, we saw back in Luke chapter 1, when Mary, her cousin, came to visit her after Mary had found out that she was going to bring forth a son, the Son of God. And Elizabeth spoke out with a loud voice when Mary came into the house where she was, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Truly a great blessing upon this woman. That same chapter in Luke, Mary herself, speaking of God, Jehovah the Lord, she said, "He has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And this woman who was in the crowd, the best thing that she could think of, it seemed like at the moment, was to speak a blessing concerning the mother of the Lord Jesus. It seems that she concluded that the highest blessing possible from God would be to have a child like Jesus. Maybe to be Mary. To be Mary. You know, we're all familiar to some degree with the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and their exaltation of Mary. Some of you have probably seen or at least heard about the movie Son of God that's come out recently and played in theaters. I'm not a movie critic by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, as I watched that movie and appreciated parts of it, you know, I couldn't help but notice the emphasis that the producers and the directors were making of Mary and the emphasis on Peter. You know, when you look it up, you see that those who produce the film, their worldview is a Christian worldview, but it's a Roman Catholic Christian worldview. And so we have to watch as we see things like that. We need to filter, knowing where they're coming from, that we're not somehow misled. And there are a lot of other things where they took a lot of artistic license with that movie. There are other movies. Here, you think I'm going to get onto a movie critic thing right now, but this is a little opportunity just to make a little aside here. So punch your neighbor if they went to sleep, because this part it isn't going to be. They might not know to say anything on the way out about this because it's not in the text. But you know, there are a number of Christian movies out right now, and it's a good reminder that if we choose to go to these movies, that we filter them through the Word of God. I make some comments on Son of God. Of course, the movie Noah is, you talk about artistic license. Now, I've not seen it yet. I've just read things about it. But artistic license, you're going to find it very different from what's in the Bible. So it's good to know the Word of God anyway. But you know what? Maybe you say, well, I'm not going to see the movie. It doesn't really matter. Know the Word of God, because some of your coworkers, some of your neighbors, some of your family members are going to see that movie. It'll be a great opportunity for you to know the truth, to be able to share the things that God tells us about Noah, why he destroyed the earth, not because we weren't good environmentalists, but because everything in our hearts were wicked. Everything in our hearts was wicked. Continually, we read. There's another movie coming out, Heaven is Real. I've not seen that. Don't know a lot about it except the book. But I would again caution you, being careful about a little boy that supposedly went to heaven in a near-death experience. I personally have a lot of issues about all of those near-death experiences. One being, I never hear anybody that supposedly went to heaven that saw Jesus. I said, I thought that's what heaven was all about, the Lord Jesus. You know, if you don't see him, I really wonder if you went there. But anyway, I'm getting a little far off. One more movie I will mention, though. I've mentioned it before while I'm throwing out movie critiques here. God's Not Dead. Now, I will encourage you. I think that's a very solid movie. I'm not going to say everything is perfect in it, but the gospel is presented very clearly. It's a well-made movie. So that one gets, how many stars do they give? I don't know. How many? Anyway, don't worry about that. Okay. All right. So now we're back onto the main track, but I wanted to take advantage there for a moment of that. So here we go. She was concluding that, you know, to be like Mary, you know, I almost can hear subconsciously in her mind these thoughts. If my son were only like him. If my son were only like him, then I would really be blessed. And of course, she would be. But the Lord Jesus corrects this woman. I know he did it in love. I'm just confident of that because he is love. And look at what he says. More than that. He's not saying my mother's not blessed. Now, he's saying she is blessed. A blessing of God. She found favor in the eyes of God as Noah did. Not by anything that she had done. Not by anything Noah had done. God in his sovereignty, they found grace in his eyes. But there's a greater blessing. And see, this woman was missing the greater blessing. More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You see, to be the mother of the Messiah was only available to one person. Only available to one person. And that was a great blessing, but the Lord Jesus wants to point out there's a greater blessing than that. And that greater blessing is to hear and keep the word of God. And I think that's where the application comes in for us as professing Christians today. You know, I believe that there's a tendency among professing Christians, I'm not saying here in this group necessarily, though it could include and probably does, and at times maybe all of us, but a tendency among professing Christians to focus on the temporal. To think something like this: blessed are those who have kids that are like Jesus. If only my children were like that, then I would be blessed. Blessed are those who have a great job that they love and they find fulfillment there and satisfaction, and it meets their financial needs. They don't have to worry about what they're going to buy for food next week. If only I had a better job. Now, that'd be a blessing. Then I'd be blessed. If only I had a spouse like that. That's a dangerous thought, by the way. Be careful if that comes across your mind. If my spouse were more like he or she ought to be, then I would be blessed. Blessed are those who don't have any financial issues and no health struggles. Wow, if we just didn't have so many financial and health problems going on, we would be blessed. And if you have kids who are following the Lord Jesus, if you have a job that you love, if you have a spouse that is living biblically, if you are doing okay financially, if you are in good health, then those are blessings. But the Lord Jesus says there's a greater blessing. The Lord Jesus says, do not focus. Now, we've got to invest, and as we invest, we'll want to see our children going for the Lord. We'll want to see our spouses living for God. We'll want to be the best employee we can be for the glory of God. But there's a greater blessing, and that greater blessing is to hear and keep the Word of God. And you know what? That's available to every believer. Every believer. Back in Luke 8, we remember possibly the Lord Jesus speaking about that parable of the sower and the seed. And we talked there about being careful how we hear. He said the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts lest they should believe and be saved. He goes on to say the ones that fell on good ground, the seed that fell on good ground, are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Something else you may or may not remember from Luke chapter 8, we're not going to go there for sake of time, but Luke chapter 8, we also found these words of the Lord Jesus concerning his family, saying, we need him to come out here where we are. And here's what he said. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Contrast that a little bit with what this woman just called out. Blessed is your mother. The Lord Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are the ones who hear the word of God and do it. He was not in any way disrespecting his mother. He was not in any way dishonoring his mother. No. But he wants us to understand the greater blessing. In John, before he goes to the cross, the Lord Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Oh, to hear the word of God. You put yourself in a place this morning where you're hearing the word of God. This is definitely not the only place that you can or should hear the word of God. We should be hearing the word of God all week. We should be hearing the word of God through our own minds as we read the word of God on a daily basis. Are you reading your Bible every day? Some of you are saying, why are you asking that question? Everybody knows you're supposed to read the Bible every day. I'm not saying, do you know you're supposed to read your Bible every day? I'm saying, are you reading your Bible every day? Are you hearing the Word of God? Are you exposing yourself to sound teaching? The meetings here that the elders believe that God would have us to have, and the speakers that we ask to speak, are coming because we believe they're going to share the Word of God with us, whether it be a short devotional or whether it be a week of meetings. We want everyone to have the opportunity to hear the Word of God, but also in private we want you to hear the Word of God. Are you hearing the Word of God? Are you hearing the Word of God with your family? Are you hearing the Word of God with others during the week in small quantities, large quantities? Old Testament, New Testament, are you getting a good diet, a well-balanced diet of the Word of God? Are you reading? Are you hearing the Word of God blessed rather. Here's the greater blessing. To hear the Word of God, but remember the Lord Jesus. In those verses in Luke 8 and John 14 that I read to you, he says, not only do they hear it, they keep it. They do it. They don't let it get snatched away. They hold on to that. They take what they hear and they say, hey, how does that apply to my life? I want to meditate on that. I want to think about that. I want to bring that back. And I want to run that between my ears a few more times. I want to let it go down into my heart. And then I want to let it come out through my life. How can I live this out? What I heard this morning, what I read today, how can I live that out in a practical way today? Keeping the Word of God. Holding on to it, meditating on it, going back over it, obeying it, sharing it, quoting it, memorizing it, living it out. What a blessing. Back in Luke 6, verses 47 and 48, the Lord Jesus said, whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. There's your blessing. There's the greater blessing. Those who hear the Word of God and keep the Word of God. Our lives are grounded on the Lord Jesus Himself. We first must come to Him for salvation. We first must acknowledge that we're sinners and we need the Lord Jesus who died for our sins and rose again. We must believe on Him. We must take Him at His word and be made a new creation. And then we begin to grow. And then we begin to walk as a baby believer. And then we mature. But we're always wanting to be on the firm foundation of the Word of God. The blessing of knowing the Word of God. And of knowing it better. I praise God. I know the Word of God better than I did 10 years ago. But you know what? I hope the Lord gives me 10 more years. Because I want to know it better. I want to hear it. I want to keep it. And you know, as I take the Word of God in, and I believe as we live it out, He's going to show us more. If I take it in and just store it up and don't use it, I can't really expect God to be showing me more. Particularly more in a practical way. The blessing of knowing the Word of God. The blessing associated with being obedient to what I read in the Word. There's a blessing that comes with that. And you might say, well, you know what? I did what God said, and my life got worse. Count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you fall into trials of various kinds, James tells us. You know, Satan knows you're being obedient. And Satan will come after you through his demons. Not to indwell you if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit is there. He can't get in. But He can sure come against you and He will try to discourage you. The blessing of the knowledge of the light of the Lord Himself. And here's the principle for us with this. Embrace the greater blessing of hearing and keeping the Word of God. There's our principle. Hang on to that. As a believer in the Lord Jesus. If you're saved, if you're not saved, first you've got to hear the Word of God and you've just got to receive the Lord. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. That's the first step. You can't keep the Word of God and be blessed through the Word of God if you don't know the God of the Word. All right. So we've got two imperfect conclusions. Let's see. We don't have too long left, but let's see what we can do with this last one. Probably won't get through it all, but we're going to try. Here's the third one. We had a third group of people who allowed the power. They did so begrudgingly. In fact, they didn't even really make a comment on it. But they demanded additional evidence. We see them here in verse 16. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. Here's how they responded to the miracle of him casting the demon out of the man and the man speaking, something he couldn't do before. They allowed it. Okay, they couldn't do anything to disallow it. They kind of, okay, yeah. But we want some real proof. They concluded maybe that the power was impressive, but it wasn't enough. They wanted more evidence of his credentials, more signs, more unusual occurrences that would authenticate and distinguish him as who he claimed to be, the Son of Man, the Messiah. A note with me here in verse 29 that he responds to those imperfect conclusions. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet." We're going to read some more, but notice first of all that he responds with a diagnosis of the generation to which he spoke. They were evil. They were wicked. Now, they might not have been out robbing banks, and they might not have been out committing adultery. They may not have been out cursing God. They may not have done any of those things. But you see, the Lord Jesus knew their thoughts, and he knows our thoughts. It doesn't matter how religious we propose to be or present ourselves as. It's the reality of what God sees in our hearts. And he said, you know, this is an evil generation, and they're seeking a sign. Paul tells us that the Greeks, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, they seek wisdom, but the Jewish people sought a sign. They're not the only people that seek signs. There are people seeking signs today. There are people today saying, we need more evidence. Well, he said that the only sign they were going to get was the sign of Jonah the prophet. Verse 30, For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. He said, you want a sign. Did they really want a sign? Was that a reality, or was that just an excuse? What had they just seen? What had they been seeing? What had they been hearing? As the Lord Jesus presented himself, he had even raised people from the dead. But they're saying, we want a sign. Give us a sign. And so the Lord Jesus compares them to several people in the Old Testament, several groups of people in the Old Testament. First, he speaks about the Queen of the South, or we know her as the Queen of Sheba. Here, I think I've got a map here. Yeah, look down there at the kind of in the bottom area. Oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Let's see if I can get back. Okay, down in the bottom, you see Sheba there in pink and a little oblong shape there. And she came up to Canaan. If you look up toward the upper left-hand corner, you'll see Canaan, where the people of God came. She journeyed all the way to Israel in order to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And here the Lord Jesus was coming to them. He came from heaven, and now he's come to their town, and they don't want to hear that wisdom. A greater than Solomon is here. You know, there are many people today that are saying, we want a sign. I'm thinking particularly, I'm going to make some application, and I'll have to wait till next week to really get into it, but what this really reminded me of were those many today who were claiming to be atheists. Now, of course, this wouldn't perfectly parallel, because these people, we believe, thought there was a God for sure. But many people today who are atheists are saying we need more proof. We need more evidence that there's a God. And there's many people today who are willing to travel hundreds of miles to go hear a wise man according to this world. But the Lord Jesus himself has come to their world. And he has given us his word, and he has sent his Holy Spirit to indwell his people, and yet they don't want to hear the wisdom. Many of them. many of them. We'll talk more about that next week. But then the other person he speaks of, and we'll just touch on this before we close this morning, was Jonah. And if you notice there on the map, go up to the top, and you'll see Nineveh is way up there in the kind of orange. You'll see Assyria, two up. I'm not sure how clear that is, but two above, that's the city of Nineveh. Now, that's where Jonah was sent to preach. Now, you know he took off toward Tarshish. He went west as hard as he could go, but you know what happened there? God brought a storm, and God provided a great fish, and Jonah ended up in Assyria. And we'll talk more next week about what happened when he went there. But he preached. He preached a very simple message. Some of you wish I would just preach Jonah's message, and you'd get out of here a lot quicker, wouldn't you? Short little, but he kept saying it over and over. So, you know, I could do that over and over, but try not to, unless the Lord directs me to. But he went there and they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Well, the people of this world so often are caught up with personalities, even believers, caught up with personalities of preachers, when the Lord Jesus himself is here speaking through his word and hopefully using preachers to present the word of God in a faithful way. We'll pick up here in a couple of weeks and look more at this as we think about what God is doing in seeking to address these imperfect responses. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, this morning as we conclude, we want to thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for him, and we think of all the lives that he has touched through Mountaintop Youth Camp. Lord, we go back to our opening, and we think about Mountaintop, and Father, over 3,000 young people professing faith in the Lord Jesus through the ministry of Mountaintop Youth Camp. Thank you for how you used it in my life. Thank you for how you've used it in the lives of my family members and of so many in this local assembly and so many people in this community who don't know anything about Shannon Hills Bible Chapel but have heard the gospel at Mountaintop. Thank you. Father, thank you for the many other ways that you have reached hearts in this room. Father, many in this room could stand, even as those three did last Sunday morning at their baptism, and give testimony of how you worked in their lives and showed them that they needed the Savior, the only Savior, and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved, made new creations, sins forgiven, brought into an intimate relationship with you. Father, we confess that in that intimate relationship, we still battle with the flesh. Lord, we still are affected by this world. Help us not to be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by hearing and keeping your word. Lord, thank you for the privilege that we have. Above many people on this planet today, we have an actual copy of your word. Many of us in our hands and laps this very morning. Father, thank you for that great privilege. May we hear your word, and may we keep it. May we embrace that greater blessing. And Father, we pray for those in our lives. Father, those believers who are caught up with the things of this world, help us to be examples to them. Help us to lovingly direct them to the greater blessing. And Father, we pray for those in our lives who are following false religions. Lord, that we might, in our own lives, our own testimonies, we might exalt your Son, the Lord Jesus, for who he truly is, that they would be brought to a point of response and help us to be ready to give an answer, ready to share resources, ready to bring them to speak to someone else. And Father, as we move on into this next section, and as we make application to those many in our world today, who do not even believe in your existence. Father, we pray that you would help us to be prepared, that we would love them as the Lord Jesus loves them, and that our hearts would go out to them with the gospel, and Father, with lives that they cannot deny what they see happening in us. Father, may our lives be a great apologetic for the gospel. And so we ask these things, praying for any who may be here this morning that have never received the Lord Jesus. They may be very religious, but they've never acknowledged their sinnership to you and trusted the Lord Jesus alone for forgiveness. We pray that they would be saved today, right where they sit, that they might call out to you for forgiveness. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord encourage you.